Good evening, church. Before we get into the lesson, I just wanted to take a moment because it's something I've said in private, but that I wanted to say publicly while I had the floor and while the class is still going on. I just want to say how much I've appreciated the study that Preston has led.
Amen.
In studying both the life of Paul and the epistles of Paul. In our Sunday morning class, I have learned a great deal during the course of that study. I've been refreshed on some things that I hadn't thought about in a while, and it's just been a really excellent study. I wanted to commend Preston for that. One of the things that led me here to South Valley was the quality of the teaching and preaching that I found when I was visiting here. I have yet to be disappointed. So just wanted to make that point, because we are going to be in one of Paul's letters tonight. We're going to be in the second chapter of his letter to the Philippians. Because Paul begins this chapter by talking about something that I personally have a challenge with. And that is the idea of having the mind of Christ. I get what it is. I understand it. But it is often hard to implement, at least for me. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself." Okay, I've got that part. That's not that much of a struggle. Then he says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Okay, I can do that most of the time. But then he says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And that's where I run into a wall, because it is not always easy for me to do that, to be that humble and that obedient. But here's the thing. When we can do that, the beauty of it is, not only does that put us in the right place where we need to be with Christ, it also influences other people to do the same. Because later in that chapter, beginning at verse 14, notice what Paul says. He says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." When we take on the mind of Christ, we shine the light of Christ into the world around us. When we take on the mind of Christ, we develop the ability to persuade other people to begin that path. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. But again, that's a challenge. How can I think like Jesus? How can I think like one who always thought of others' needs before his own? who assumed the nature of a servant, who demonstrated humility even while suffering, who obeyed his father's will without complaining. That's sometimes a challenge for me. And who sacrificed his life completely. Is it even possible for me to have a mind like that? Well, Paul is going to show us that it is possible, because he's going to show us two men who did it. Two men who example for us the mind of Christ. It's interesting that when we talk about Philippians chapter 2, we often read the first half of the chapter with Paul talking about this concept of having the mind of Christ, and don't read down to the part where he shows us, and here are two guys who are doing it. And that latter part is important because that's the part that convinces me that I could do it too. It's not just an ephemeral concept from the mind of Paul. It is an actual thing that actual human people can do. And here are these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Of Timothy, Paul says, beginning of verse 19 of that second chapter of Philippians, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel." Timothy was special to Paul. Paul makes that clear in those verses that we just read. First of all, Paul says, "I have no one like-minded." I don't have anybody else, Paul is saying to the Christians at Philippi, that I could send you who would show you the mind of Christ as much as Timothy will. I don't have anybody else who would provide that level of example to you that Timothy will show you. And why was Timothy so special? Because Paul said he will sincerely care for your state. You know, when we think about caring for others, most of us have people we care for. Most of us don't have a problem caring for the people we care for. But Timothy is being sent to people, many of whom he probably didn't even know. But Paul was confident that Timothy would care for them. Even if he didn't already know them, because Paul knew the mind of Timothy. And he knew that Timothy had the mind of Christ. And he said, "I don't have anybody else who does that to the level that Timothy will." Because, Paul says, all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, is that a blanket indictment of everybody that Paul worked with? Is he literally saying, everybody that works with me is selfish? Everybody that works with me is self-centered, only thinks about their own thing. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that all of the other people I could send you, good men though they are, have this one weakness, that sometimes self gets in the way. That would have been me. If Paul had sent me, instead of Timothy, because sometimes self gets in the way. But Paul was confident that that would not be the case with Timothy, because Timothy, he said, is like-minded. Like what? Like what he was writing about earlier in the chapter when he said, have this mind in you, which is the mind of Christ. He knew that Timothy would be able to go to Philippi and care for the people there as Christ cared for them. But here's the thing. Timothy was a man like you and I are men and women. If Timothy could learn to do that, we can learn to do that. And the thing is, when we show the kind of concern for others that Timothy would show for the Christians in Philippi, we are showing genuine concern for the things of Christ. When we care about one another, and I see beautiful examples of that all the time here at South Valley, but we can always be better. But when we do that, we are reflecting the mind of Christ, just as Timothy did. Because when it came to loving others, Timothy didn't just talk the talk. Timothy walked the walk. Paul believed in Timothy, not just because Timothy said, Paul, I'll go there and I'll show him what's what. He said, you know his proven character. Timothy had already demonstrated by his actions that he had the mind of Christ. Paul said he's proven that. He's proven that to me, and he says to the Philippians, and he's proven that to you, because as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. Remember that parable that Jesus told about the man that had two sons? And he told them both to go work in the field. And the one son said, I'm going, Father. And then he didn't go. But there was the other son who said, I'm not going. But later, Jesus said, he repented and he went. And Jesus said that was the son that did the will of the Father. Timothy was that second son. Paul could send him knowing that he wouldn't just say, I'm going, that he would both go and he would do the work to the fullest and highest of his ability. He would go faithfully into the field. And Paul knew that. And that when Timothy did that, he would show those Christians in Philippi what the mind of Christ looked like. But there was another man that Paul wrote about in that same chapter, who similarly demonstrated this quality that he started the chapter talking about. Notice beginning at verse 25, Paul says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all, and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. And indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Epaphroditus performed a lot of functions right there. Paul called him my brother. That's not just a word that Paul used because it was convenient. That was a word that meant something to Paul. It was a word that talked about the depth of connection that he felt with Epaphroditus. He called him a fellow worker. That when he had come to minister to Paul, he had not just come to take care of Paul's needs, but he had shared with him in the work of the gospel. And indeed, Paul also calls him a fellow soldier, that he had shared in the battle for the gospel. And he was also a messenger. He said, he is your messenger to me, because they had sent Epaphroditus to care for Paul during the time that he was in prison. He performed all of these functions. And in doing so, Epaphroditus put others first. Because Paul said that you heard he was ill, and he was. But yet when he was ill, Paul tells us that Epaphroditus' first concern was not for his own health, but his first concern was that his brothers and sisters back in Philippi were going to worry about him when they heard that he was sick. And even though he nearly died, Paul said he was almost unto death, but yet he did his best to complete his mission. Sometimes I get a cold and I can't get anything done. Epaphroditus was almost at the point of death, and yet, with what strength he had, there he was, being Paul's brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, and messenger from Philippi, to the level that he could, there he was doing all of those things. He had what I like to call contagious compassion, because as I said earlier, you know, when we show the mind of Christ, it encourages others to do it also. That's what happened with Epaphroditus, because Epaphroditus cared for others, and therefore Paul cared for him. Paul learned something about compassion and caring from this man who was there caring for him. He said, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I was worried about Epaphroditus, Paul is saying. And yet, here he was, doing all that he could to help me. And because Epaphroditus had that level of care for others, those back in Philippi cared for him. They were worried because they heard that he was sick. And now Paul says, I'm sending him back to you because I want you to see him again so that you can rejoice, to see that God has shown mercy on him by sparing his life. That was not Epaphroditus' concern, but it was Paul's concern. And more importantly, it was God's concern. Epaphroditus sacrificed himself with the mind of Christ. Because Paul had begun the chapter, remember, by talking about the fact that Christ was obedient even unto death. But notice what he says about Epaphroditus. For the work of Christ, he came close to death. He was willing to do to the level that he was able what Christ had done. He was willing to lay it all on the line. He was willing to give everything if that's what it took for him to complete the work that he was sent to do. He was willing to die if that would complete his service to Paul. He proved, Epaphroditus did, that he cared more about others and about the Lord's work more than he cared about himself. Paul says, not regarding his life, he supplied what was lacking in your service to me. In order to do what you couldn't, because you couldn't all come, you couldn't all be here, Epaphroditus came on your behalf. But in order to do that, he did it without regard to his life. He was willing to die if that's what it took. He cared about me, Paul, that much. And he cared about you, his brothers and sisters, who had sent him on that mission, that much. And more importantly, he cared about his Lord and Savior that much, that he was willing to die to complete his service to Paul and to the Philippian church and to his Lord. Timothy and Epaphroditus provide us selfless examples. Paul said of Timothy, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Paul knew what a blessing it would be in the Lord for Timothy to go and be with the saints in Philippi, because he knew what they would get from him. The example of one with the mind of Christ. And he said of Epaphroditus, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Don't just welcome Epaphroditus back because he's one of yours. He's your friend, your brother, your friend, your neighbor. He's also worthy of your respect and honor as a servant of the Lord. But when we look at these two men, they teach us that it is possible for us to have the mind of Christ. Because these were just two very human men. These were not men who were anything other than what we are. But they were determined to put on what Paul described earlier in the chapter as the mind of Christ. To be willing to care for others above and beyond themselves with all sincerity and humility, and to give of themselves even if it meant their physical life. That's the mind of Christ. That's exactly what Paul describes in those earlier verses. And if I ask myself, could I really do that? The answer is yes, because here are two guys doing it. What's my excuse? How can I let myself off that hook? It is a challenge. for us to have the mind of Christ. But if we're going to wear the name Christian, we have to remember what that word means. It means one who is like Christ. If we're going to apply that name to ourselves, then it means a commitment to put on the mind of him whose name we wear. Is it easy? No, not always. Some things about it might be easier for others. Some things that challenge me might not challenge you. Some aspects of that that challenge you might come easily to me. We all have our own strengths and weaknesses. But we are all called to the same thing. To have this mind in us, which was in Christ Jesus, as Paul said. So the challenge that we have before us, take this with you this week. To be more determined to reflect the mind of Christ in everything that we do. To recognize in ourselves first where we fall short in that. And determine through the strength that God supplies to be better. And to not allow those weaknesses to become excuses, because that's easy to do. It's easy for me, I presume it's easy for you. But to also remind ourselves that we can look into the pages of Scripture and see people. People like us. Maybe Paul's too high a standard, we think. But Timothy and Epaphroditus are not. If they could do this, we can do it. If they can show the mind of Christ, then surely I can. And I'm going to make that determination to work on that a little bit more day by day. And I invite you to do that as well. It may be that you're here and have not yet put on Christ. Looking around the room, I don't see anybody who falls into that situation, but I don't know everybody all that well. It may be that you are not yet in Christ, and therefore having the mind of Christ must first be preceded by putting on Christ in the manner that Christ himself required, that you believe in him first and foremost as the Son of God, that you be willing to repent of the ways of the world and put on the ways of Christ, to confess him as Lord and be buried with him in baptism so that you may be raised to walk in a new life characterized by the mind of Christ. If you need to do that, no better time than right now. And maybe as you sit here as a baptized believer, you recognize the ways that your mind and the mind of Christ don't always line up. Make a commitment to do better. And if there's a way that your brothers and sisters in Christ can encourage you, can strengthen you, if you need prayer to help that, help accomplish that, then let us know what you need as we stand and we sing the song that Kurt's chosen for us.